As most of you know, we are privileged to have a different speaker each Sunday of the month. This morning, Reverend Rosella Sims will uplift and inspire us with her teaching titled, The Sacred Pause.
Good morning, everyone. So good to be back with you again today. I just invite you to become still for a little bit. Let's take that sacred pause. And as you close your eyes to the outside world, I invite you to open your eyes to the inside world. And just take a deep breath. Become still. And in this stillness, I'd like to put these words. God is not something to be worshiped. Rather, it is a principle to be lived. A presence dwelling within each of us. We can never be separated from this presence because we are an expression of it. Rather than praying to this power to do something for us, we allow it to work through us as a living principle. And just take a deep breath, breathe that in. Feel the life in that. I invite you to open your eyes and come back into the room. That is a quote that I discovered years ago, and it just spoke to my heart. It was anonymous at the time. I didn't have a clue in who wrote it, but it is something that has really identified God to me and what I feel God is. And God is one of those things, that words, that it is hard to, I don't want to say agree on, but we all have our own interpretations, our own ways that we identify with this presence, whatever it is. How many of you can say that your lives have changed as a result of living the Unity Way? And when I say the Unity Way, what is that way? Unity teaches us how to live a life of goodness, how to live a life of godness. How do we do that? And how does it do that? It does it by teaching us that there is one presence and one power in the universe. And that presence and that power is goodness itself. That there isn't a demonic presence that's out there testing us. It also teaches us in so many ways that within us is the potential for that presence of goodness. But it's only a potential that we must grow in the awareness of that goodness within us. Therefore, it begins to grow in and through us and out from us. It teaches us that through the changing of our minds, letting go of old ways of thinking, old ways of being, old perceptions that have caused us suffering, that we can find more of this goodness. It also teaches us through a technique called affirmative prayer, the art of denying old states of being, old states of coping, old perceptions that have had power over us, and also affirming higher ways of living through which we realize that we are one with this divine presence. Affirming such as the Father and I are one, or every cell in my body aligns with the perfect rhythm of wholeness. And just knowing these four principles and working them in our lives, we can change our lives. I know I did. There's a very old book. It's called Light for Our Ages by Robert Sicking. He was a Unity minister many, many, many years ago. And he wrote this: there is only one presence. The omnipresence is God. Infinite, absolute, impersonal God. We are that presence, for there is no place that God is not. Another book called Patterns for Self-Unfoldment by Randolph and Letty Schmelich. It says, when we realize that all paths lead to God, you know that he is here, present in all things. She is around you, just as the very air is around you. So God indwells us and transcends us. We live and move and have our being in the presence of God at all times. Do you know this presence? Do you have a personal relationship with this presence? What does that look like? Are you in a practice every day? Do you make that conscious connection every single day? When life is being life, as it always will, what is the first thing you do? Where is the first place you turn? Do you make that conscious contact with your powerful presence that is within you, the all-power presence that is within you? Here's an example of what not to turn to. A bee flew into our car one day while we stopped at a traffic light. Try as we might to get it out through an open window, it insisted on buzzing blindly into the windshield. When we got home, we tried again to get it to leave, but this only made it buzz angrily against the rear window. And again, we attempted to direct it outside. Yet each time, it evaded us. Afraid of injuring the bee, if we continued trying, we left the car in the driveway with the windows open next to our flowering bougainvillea vine, hoping this would entice the bee to freedom. But alas, the next morning, we found this little creature dead on the back seat, mortally exhausted from its desperate efforts. This poor bee was so sure it had the answer to its dilemma. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing, but with more energy. And so it buzzed with greater and greater and greater intensity into the window. It stubbornly maintained that it could solve its own problem, when the truth was that the bee's way got it nowhere. Are you like that bee? You know, it may sound silly to look at ourselves, look for ourselves in an insect, but we do those things, don't we? We struggle and struggle and struggle, never wanting to give up. But sometimes we must admit to ourselves that we don't have all the answers in our human minds. Einstein reminded us that a problem can never be solved at the level of the problem. How often do we try to solve it there, even when it's getting us nowhere? How often do we look for a solution from a human perspective when it was our human efforts which got us there in the first place? It's rather sobering to realize that whatever predicament we now are facing, it was our best thinking that got us there. And it is also sobering to realize that our best thinking is keeping us there. So let's look to the Old Testament for some answers. Now, I'm sure you all sit around reading the Old Testament, don't you? But we can look and see how we have evolved spiritually through the Old Testament. First, there was a voice. And then there was an experience. And that led to the first prophet being born. Those that were aware of God within them and those that kept that awareness, they checked in for that awareness. Then the judges and the kings came along. And in those times, kings had to have a prophet consultant, if you will, because it was thought that the king was an intellectual being and that they needed a prophet to hear what God desires. Now they were very smart in realizing that the intellect can't work alone, but they weren't evolved enough to know both were a part of us. So here's the first king, King Saul. King Saul was very, very impatient. He didn't want to wait for Samuel, his prophet. And he didn't want to ask him. He didn't want to check with him. So he believed he could do it on his own. So he goes to war, and in the war, both sons are killed. And he's beside himself. And so he ends up killing himself. But the next king is a king that is chosen by God. This is a king that from a very young age has heard the voice of God, has experienced the voice of God. In fact, most of Psalms are his songs to God. King David is who I'm talking about. King David knew God in him. And I love some of his Psalms. I know you're all familiar with the 23rd Psalm. Listen to the words of this Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord guides me. I will not be in need. He lets me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Certainly, goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. What is that house? Where is that house? Ever thought about it? Every time we close our eyes, every time we open our inner eyes and we make that conscious connection, we are in that house that he speaks about. Psalms 18:2-3, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my savior, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Beautiful words. But my favorite and the one that has grown me is Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. What does this really mean? During the pandemic, it gave me the perfect opportunity to learn how to make recordings and then how to post them to my Facebook page that I had opened called Looking to the Lighter Side. And I did that for over a year. And the theme that became apparent throughout it was the sacred pause, to take the sacred pause, to become still and know God within, to become still and make the connection. And then my Facebook page was hacked, severely hacked. In fact, it was hacked so severely that Facebook shut it down. Well, I was really saddened by this because I lost all my contacts and I lost my platform. And then one day a thought came to me, a memory actually, that I had written over 5 fables during my career. And perhaps now was the time to get them published. The first one that I had written, I was in my 30s, and I thought that would always be the first one that I would get published. It's called Bloom Where You Were Planted. But no, my urgings were the little book called The Magic Between a Turtle and a Butterfly. And so I began the process of refining. I had started painting lessons and I thought, well, I could paint the illustrations for this book. But as I got into it, I realized that I probably would be gone before I would be able to finish the paintings. It really wasn't in my wheelhouse. And so in my quiet time, I remembered a young woman that I had met many years ago. She was a graphic artist. And so I spoke to her, reached out to her and asked her if she was up for the task. She agreed and she said she was. So we began the process of creating the little fable book called The Magic Between the Turtle and a Butterfly. But why this particular book and why now? Since my husband's death, I have been doing ministry in a different way, no longer running a church. I speak, but mostly I teach. And what I teach are the principles that have helped me so much and have changed my life. And the magic of Between a Turtle and a Butterfly is about those principles. It's about the principle that God is always with us, that there is no separation, that no matter what is going on in our life, God is always there. We just have to make the turn. Just like the prodigal son, become still and know God. It reminds us that there is a magical experience that happens when we're in this place. In unity, we call it the silence. And there is something magical that happens when we move out of the problem and we move into the light. We are being healed. We may not see it for a while, but there is change happening in us. You know, we often seek secrets for change so we may live the same old life with less pain. And this is a major pitfall. We believe that we can keep doing exactly what we've always done, just like our little bee friend, yet somehow obtain different results. But the real secret is that change just in our outer world will not make us happy. We cannot control out there. We never could. We can't impose our will on anything out there because out there is always in states of changes at all time because of the different levels of consciousness coming together. But the true secret is our outer world doesn't have to change in order for us to feel good, in order for us to have happiness. There is something that we can control, something that only we can control, and that is our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, our beliefs, our perspective. We have a choice. no matter what is going on around us, we can become still and know the presence of God inside of us, the presence of good inside of us. I love this example. Researchers in a diving bell can go hundreds of feet under the oceans, depths that would normally kill them, and they survive. Yet their only concern is their environment, immediate environment, the diving bell. The icy temperatures of the water, the enormous pressures, the predatory fish, all of these variables are not only uncontrollable, they are immaterial. The same holds true with astronauts in their spacesuits. The environment around them doesn't matter as long as the environment inside the spacesuit supports them. So when we regulate our inner world, our outer world doesn't have to change. It doesn't matter what happens to us, it only matters what happens through us. And my favorite scripture is from the book of Thomas, if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. And so I told you that I've written this little fable and I want to read it to you today. I want to share it with you. It gives me great pleasure to do this. So it'll give you a place to remember to take the pause. Once upon a time, a very old turtle lived on the edge of a forest. There was nothing especially magical about him, or so he thought. He spent his days and nights moving slowly and sitting very still inside his shell, which he called home. On one particular day, he had sat in the hot sun for a very long time, and he felt exceptionally sleepy. "I can't seem to keep myself cool today," he thought. "Maybe I'll stay inside my house all day. I'll find the cool and the peace I'm looking for." And so the turtle pulled his head into his shell. But before his head was all the way in, the sky darkened. "What's happening?" he said. "I know it's not evening yet." And all at once, a strange fluttering breeze passed over him. The darkness was not caused by the ending of day, but by the most beautiful creature he had ever seen hovering above him and about to land upon his back. Awed by her beauty, Turtle sat completely still for the longest time, admiring her shimmering colors and basking in her glowing light. He was enchanted and spoke his thoughts out loud. "Magic, pure magic." Butterfly fluttered her wings as if to lift off. She had never heard a rock talk before. Turtle said, "Oh, don't leave, Magic. You seem tired on this warm day. Rest on my back for as long as you like." She saw he wasn't a rock at all, but a lovely round turtle. "Why do you call me Magic?" she asked. "Well, I've never seen anything as beautiful as you, except inside my shell, and that is where everything magical lives," Turtle replied. "Well, I'm only a butterfly. There are many like me in the world. Haven't you ever looked?" Turtle considered the question. "Well, I can't say as I have." "You're as magical as I am, Turtle." "I am?" Turtle surprised. "Yes," Butterfly said. "In fact, you have found the true light, the light inside of you." "Oh, I didn't know that it was part of me," Turtle said. "I thought it was part of my house." "It is part of you, inside your heart," Butterfly said. "I've heard others talk about it, but I haven't found it in me yet." "You are very wise, Turtle." Now that was the first time anyone had called him wise. They usually called him lazy because he spent so much time inside his shell where he found the magical light. Turtle felt very proud and offered more wisdom. I can help you reach your light, Butterfly. I see it and I feel it in you. You do? She hovered with excitement. Yes, just close your eyes. Close my eyes? I've never done that. I'm usually too busy flying here and there and don't have time to close my eyes. Turtle, may I rest upon your back? He nodded his head and said, please do. Butterfly settled herself on Turtle's back, spread her wings and covered him from the hot sun, which he'd forgotten all about. Now close your eyes and relax, Turtle said. Butterfly closed her eyes and saw the light, the beautiful light that lives within our hearts. Oh, she sighed, it is magical. Now go into the light and simply sit there, Turtle said. Be still and know the light. And so Butterfly did exactly as he said. She found herself sitting in a magnificent light-filled cave. In this quiet sanctuary, she felt calm and peaceful and happy. The serene place was filled with light, and the light filled her with love. Butterfly knew she wanted to share this light, so she made a promise to herself. With her eyes and her heart, she would look for the light in everyone and everything. And suddenly her eyes opened, and she found herself sitting on top Turtle's back. Oh, you're back, he said. Didn't I just close my eyes, she asked. No, you've been in the place of light all day. Butterfly looked at him with gratitude. Thank you for showing me how to get to the light and for letting me rest upon your back. You're welcome, Turtle said, for I too went inside and joined you in the light, because in the presence of light, we can be in two different places, but sit together and be one in the light. Butterfly hovered in excitement. Thank you, Turtle, for sharing this gift with me. Turtle, in his quiet way, said, thank you, Butterfly. You showed me that the place of light I thought was inside my house was actually inside of me, in my heart. So you see, we have shared in the love of the light. She lifted in a powerful flutter. I'm off to share the light's beauty. I know we will meet again in the place of true light. And with that, a breeze fluttered over Turtle as Butterfly flew off with a shimmering light filling the sky in her path. And Turtle felt his heart glowing. In the light, we are all one, and we are each beautiful creatures of the light. And then Turtle giggled. Butterfly is white. I am wise. And so my point to you, thank you, today is this. These teachings give us freedom. They give us freedom to bring more goodness, more sweetness to our lives. The main teachings is to help us realize that the Christ presence is within us. The presence of God within us brings us peace and power to face anything in our lives. That God is alive through us, and God becomes alive through us in the world. And so I invite you today to take that sacred pause to be still and know God, to make peace, not only within yourself, but to give it away and bring it into the world. So I invite you just to close your eyes, take a deep breath, close your eyes to the outside world, open your eyes to the inside world, make the connection. Be still and know God. Be still and know this love, this light. Any challenge that we are having in our lives, we can bring to this light. We can leave it on the altar. And so I invite you to do that right now. If there's anything going on in your life right now, any person in your life that may be struggling, I invite you to bring it to this altar of love, to leave it, to be still and know that God is at work, that God is in the midst of whatever is going on. And we just say together, thank you. Thank you, thank you, God. Beloved Holy Presence, for your presence that sets us free. And so it is. Amen.
All right, thank you, Reverend Sims. That was wonderful.